know if there's any other region of the U.S. that's been as mythologized and idealized as the American West. I mean, no matter how many stories we read about drought and fire and floods, the West is still, at least in our imagination, the land of possibility and personal freedom.
The land buckles and rises. For 1,000 miles, it rolls out, sometimes up and down and sometimes flat like a carpet, all the way from the old crumbling eastern mountains. But then comes a kink in the carpet, a big kink. The continent lifts itself up, its back rising, and most Homo sapiens who are seeing that lift for the first or second or even the 53rd time feel a corresponding lift in their chests, a feeling of possibility, of risk, of excitement.
David Gessner is an environmental writer and editor, and he recently took a road trip through the American West in the footsteps of two great Western writers and environmentalists, Edward Abbey and Wallace Stegner. He's written a dual biography plus memoir called All the Wild That Remains, and it begins with the story of how Gessner himself first went west, an experience that divided his life into a before and an after.
The before was New England, where I didn't even know that I was living under this kind of suppressed, heavy weight of SAT scores and Ivy League colleges and my hometown of Worcester, Mass. And the after was moving to Colorado and kind of suddenly feeling like I'd found my lost tribe, people who were outdoors all the time and just these stunning places. And also, that was the moment in my life where I was, on the week before my 30th birthday, I was operated on for a testicular cancer. So I was healing, literally healing and coming back to health as I moved to the mountains.
So you went back recently and set out on this quest to uncover and get closer to the two classic writers of the American Western landscape, Edward Abbey and Wallace Stegner. Why did you take on this particular project?
Well, when I moved west, I became what Bernard DeVoto, when he moved from Utah to Massachusetts, he called himself an apprentice Easterner, and I became an apprentice Westerner that fall. And of course, like so many readers who move west, I read Desert Solitaire, Edward Abbey's great Walden-like book, where he celebrates kind of the joys of loafing, where he says things like, "I am here not only to evade for a while the clamor and filth and confusion of the cultural apparatus, but also to confront immediately and directly, if possible, the bare bones of existence, the elemental and fundamental, the bedrock which sustains us." So I'm reading this book, and it proves kind of a gateway drug to Wallace Stegner. Very different writer, very big picture, cerebral writer. You know, if Abbey's kind of the guts and balls of the operation, Stegner's the brains.
To somebody who's never heard, really, of Edward Abbey or Wallace Stegner.
Yep.
Why read either of them?
Okay. When I was in Boulder, people would read The Monkey Wrench Gang, which is about, for people who don't know, basically environmental sabotage, a little gang that gets together and chainsaws down billboards and puts sugar in gas tanks and causes trouble, basically trying to stop progress and the despoiling of the land. So when I was in Boulder, people would read that book, and I'd say, this is real literary influence at work, because they'd be out the next day putting sugar in gas tanks. And, I mean, it was this... It was kind of like a Hunter Thompson kind of buzz of that sort of reading.
Well, so that's the book that inspired Earth First and some
exactly.
of the other eco-warrior groups.
Yeah. I mean, we can even do a lineage down to Whale Wars today, you know, and things like that. But so that book has that influence. Meanwhile, Desert Solitaire does something completely different. It makes you kind of want to say, screw normal life, I'm going to live this counter life. It's like a modern Walden with jokes in it and whoopee cushions. I mean, there's silliness to the book. But then it makes you want to get out there. So that's that appeal. And I think Stegner, you know, is, well, first of all, it's easy to kind of peg these guys as advocates and environmentalists. And what we have to remember is both of them still had the kind of Hemingway ideal of, you know, the great American novel. They wanted to be writers first and foremost. Though Stegner would admit that his writing came first, and he kind of did his environmentalism on fumes. But on fumes, he wrote the basic text for the Wilderness Act. He came in with Kennedy. He saved all this land. So he did amazing things on fumes. So he was a brilliant writer who was also a brilliant teacher at Stanford, who taught Ken Kesey and Ed Abbey and Larry McMurtry And then he had this, on top of all that, this kind of great environmental conscience and gave people a language to talk about the West with.
So he's one of the writers who helped us define what it means to be Western or a Westerner.
He did, and he did it in part by ripping apart the kind of rugged individualist cowboy cliche, which he abhorred, because he really saw in Native Americans and to some degree in the Mormons, people who'd successfully lived in the land by sharing and cooperation rather than, you know, claiming, oh, I'm going to do it on my own. In fact, he thought it was the dumbest place in the world to do stuff on your own.
In the meantime, the West has become a very different place. I mean, Abbey and Stegner died in 1989 and 93, and the West today, you know, is a place of drought and forest fires and fracking and other kinds of mining. Are Stegner and Abbey still even relevant to what the Western landscape has become?
Well, I won't correct you, but I will put on my Stegner hat, and he would say in response to what you said, the West has always been that place. You know, the cycles of drought have always been there. He would say, look down at this landscape from a plane and you'll see the dryness. And you'll also see the equivalent of fracking. You didn't see fracking itself, but whether it's been gold or uranium or tourism, there's always what Stegner was the first to describe as that kind of boomer mentality.
So you went out to the West basically to try to get under their skin. I mean, you're a writer and you adore their works and you could have just stopped there, but you wanted to be in the places they had been. What surprised you?
What surprised me about the landscape was I was giving a talk in Portland and a young environmentalist said, aren't you so depressed when you go out there? You know what climate change is doing to the Southwest, you know about snowmelt, you know, don't you get depressed? And I kind of looked at him and thought, no, I don't. You know, I can have those thoughts and hold them in one part of my mind and just physically enjoy being out in the landscape. And to me, that translates to the environmental world. It's, yes, we are in bad, bad shape. Yes, all these things could come true and, you know, we should fight against them as hard as we can. But on the other hand, if we just become these dour fighters, what are we left with? I mean, we still have to revel and take joy. And I think that's one reason to read Abbey still is he's got a great line. He said, enough with saving the world. Let's go down the river.
They died, Abbey in 89 and Stegner in 93. And their deaths were in some ways so characteristic of each of them.
Abbey, his last few years, even though he died, I say, at the young but also immature, in his case, age of 62. But he was sick for the last few years, and he was very brave about it. He didn't tell people. He didn't want to, you know, he kind of kept it to himself. And when he finally died, he had vowed not to die in a hospital. So they kind of hustled him out of the hospital, his friends and his wife, Clark, and they brought him out in nature to die. And the kind of punchline is they brought him out into the wilderness, and he got better. So he ended up going home, and they put him in his writing shack, and he gradually died over the next day or so. But then when he died, the famous stories begin. Peacock, Loeffler, and others took him on his final camping trip illegally out into the middle of nowhere, buried him on an unmarked grave, climbed down into the grave to try it out for fit, you know, before they put him in it, poured beer down into the grave and, you know, and buried him out in the middle of nowhere. And the epitaph on the grave was no comment. So that was Abbey's and Stegner.
That's so mythic, and the fact that nobody knows where the grave is, it's almost as though you can imagine he didn't die. His spirit is still wandering the desert as some kind of immortal out there.
Exactly, and they also had in arches. And down in Tucson, they had these big wakes. And Abbey in his journal had left kind of stage directions. Like, he didn't want a lot of readings or dour stuff. He wanted a lot of eating and drinking and partying. And so they had these giant wakes after he died, you know, because there was no funeral. And Stegner's was quite different. By the end, he was kind of this elder of the Western community. I joke in the book that he, you know, he'd have his face on the Mount Rushmore of Western writers. And Abbey probably would, too. But he was down doing a reading in Santa Fe And he pulled out onto the on-ramp, but he was 80, you know, in his 80s, and hit by another car. And his wife was with him, Mary, which is also characteristic. And in the hospital, he said to her, "I'm sorry, it was my fault," you know, and taking responsibility to the end. And then I said at the end of the book that the most haunting thing for me wasn't so much the death, you know, he'd had a good long life. It's what Mary found when she got home, because there was a unfinished to-do list on Stegner's desk, and he was all about responsibility. And I think, you know, I end the book on a note of saying that list is for all of us, and there's still a lot of items that aren't checked off that we've got to work to check off. Mm-hmm. We writers and environmentalists who've come after him.
David Gessner is an environmental writer and editor. His new book is called All the Wild That Remains: Edward Abbey, Wallace Stegner, and the American West.